Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Chaf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hakelev Vagdi Shadolgu. If a dog or a goat jumped onto a keli and broke it, so if they jump Mimata Momala from the bottom to the top, Peturim, then that chuyuv to pay. Machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, what does Petura mean? Rashi says the potter from paying Nezek Sholeh, it's not considered a situation of regal, but it's certainly considered Meshunah, it's certainly considered an abnormal act, and they would be Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. However, the other Rishonim suggest that if the only way for the dog to reach this vessel is by jumping upwards, and it's obvious that that's not the normal way that dogs jump, so it's considered an oinus and there's no obligation at all. However, if they jump mamalo mamata from the top to the bottom, then chayovim, because that's a regular case of regal of an animal jumping. Continues the braisa, adam v'tarnegoshel dilgu, a person or a chicken that jumped, there is no difference. Bei mamala mamata, bei mamata mamala, in all situations, chayov. And in fact, the Rishonim question, why does the Braisa have to teach us this thing? It's obvious that a person who does damage, in any way that he does damage, he's obligated. We know the halacha is Adam Muad La'olam. And in fact, some Rishonim suggest that that is actually the lesson that is being learned from this braisa, that the din is Adam Muad La'olam, a person is always responsible for what he does. Others say that the braisa has come to teach us, other Rishonim Tosfos say that the braisa has come to teach us the following situation. Let's say I accepted upon myself the obligation to watch someone's object, and that object is in my property. I have to be careful who I leave and give access to this object. That means if I have a cherish or a shaita in my property, I have to be careful that the cherish or shaita should not be allowed access to this object. And the Brice is teaching us that if the cherish or shaita will do damage to this object, whether they'll do damage mamala mamata or mamata mamala, it's something I should have been anticipating, something I should be concerned about, and I will be obligated. And the same would obviously be by a tarnagar. Ask the Gemara for Tanya. We learned in another braisa, Hakelev Agdi Shadogu, a dog or goat that jumped, Be Mamata Mamala, Peturim. The braisa seems to say that you never chayiv when they jumped. Isn't this a stira to what we learned in the previous braisa that says it's chayiv? Papa, the apach meibach. The case of the braisa is in a situation where each animal acted in an opposite way of it normally does. Kalba b'zakira, the dog jumped down. The gadya b'sricha, and the goat climbed up, which is very abnormal because normally goats jump and dogs climb. And therefore, it's not considered a normal situation, and that's why it's potter. And that's why Rapapa is saying that the braisa means that whether the dog or the goat jumped downward using the other one's usual method of doing so, or whether it jumps upward in any manner, it's considered an unusual situation. Ask the Gemara, Ihachia Mai Peturim, if that's the case, why is a potter? Isn't this a case of Karen? For as we've been learning, the explanation of Karen is that something unusual happened, and this is clearly an unusual situation, and why is it potter? Answer the Gemara, what the Braisa doesn't mean to say that they're entirely potter. What it means to say is, potter, Menezek Shalem, the Chayavim Mechatzi Nezek, the obligated in Din and Chatzi Nezek, because of the situation of Karen. Tosfos points out going back to a concept that we discussed in the previous year of Tchilasa Rebshia V'Soifa V'Oinus. If in a situation was in such a if there was such a situation that the owner was negligent and created a situation where the animal could make damage, even if the damage that was actually done was an oinus situation, we learned that there's a man d'omer that says it's chayiv. So why here, where the dog was left in a place where it can jump and do damage in its normal fashion, even though at the end it didn't do damage that way, why, according to the man d'omer that holds t'chila b'pshia v'soif b'oinus is chayiv, why are we not chayiv here? So Tosfos says that we can't apply the concept here. And there's a machlokes ha'achronim, how to understand what Tosfos means. Dar Sameach says that what Tosfos means to say is, even if we'll say that it's a situation of t'chila b'pshia v'soif b'oinus, and we'll hold that t'chila b'pshia v'soif b'oinus is chayiv, still it doesn't change the fact that we have a situation here of Keren. And the halach is that by Keren, you never pay more than Nezek, Chatzi Nezek. And therefore, here, indeed, he'll pay, as the Gemara just taught us, Chatzi Nezek. That's how the Ar Sameach explains. The Yamsa Shloima explained, the Marshal, explains Tosfos Teretz somewhat differently, also very nicely. He says that when do we apply the concept of Tchila B'Pshia, the Soif of Oinus, when we're referring to one type of Mazik, where the animal, where the owner was a Pesheya to Rego, and then there was an Oinus that involved the Mazik of Rego, or Shane would be the same. However, explains the Yamsha Shloima, here we're referring to a situation where the Pesheya was regarding Rego, but the actual act that happened, as we just explained, was actually Keren. We don't apply the concept of Tchila B'Pshia B'Soifa B'Oinus when we're going from one type of Mazik to another type of Mazik. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah a case of a Kelev Shenotel, where a dog takes a biscuit and took it, a burning biscuit, and put it on a stack of grain. So our Gemara now begins to discuss, before we try to understand the case of the Mishnah, our Gemara first begins to discuss the Mazik of Eish. And as the Rishonim point out, the Mazik of Eish is a very unique Mazik, because usually a Mazik is where the damager does the damage all on his own. Here the damage is being done in conjunction with something else. The fire is being spread by the wind. And the Shaila of the Gemara is, why is that considered a mazik? So we have here a very fundamental machloikus. Itma, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Isha Mishum Chitzov, fire is considered my act. If I put on a fire, it's considered as if, and the fire spreads, it's considered as if I am spreading the fire. Rish Lakish Amar Mishum Amaynoi, it's considered my money. The fire is considered mine, and therefore it's my property that did damage. And as Rashi points out, the nafgamina, the pashta nafgamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, is if I don't own the fire. So according to Rish Lakish, I would not be obligated. It's not a situation of mamaynon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's still considered my act and I would be chayiv. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's approach, because Tosfos says, if that's true, that according to Rish Lakish, if I don't own the fire, it's not considered my eish, I'm not chayiv, so we could have a terrible situation where I could take someone else's fire and burn down buildings and do terrible damage, and I won't be chayiv. It's not my mammon. So Tosfos therefore explains that even according to Rish Lakish that holds mamonoi, what the Torah teaches us with the din of mammon is that with the din of eish is that if I take a fire, or I don't want, or I use someone else's fire, as far as Eish is concerned, since I was the person that acted improperly, it's considered my fire, and since it's considered my fire, I'm going to be chayiv for Eish. There's another machloikis ha'achroinim, how to understand the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, particularly in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chaim Brisk says that what Rabbi Yochanan has come to teach us is that all situations of Eish, even in an Eish that I'm relying on the wind to spread the fire, the Torah teaches us Eish Mishum Chitzov, and that it's considered as if I put on the fire all by myself. The Masha and the Chazon Ish disagree, and they say that Rabbi Yochanan's statement of Eish Mishum Chitzov is only in a situation where the fire doesn't need the wind to help it spread. Simplest way of understanding is in a situation where I actually apply the fire to an object to burn it. In that situation, says the Chazon Ish and the Masha, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's considered Eish Mishum Chitzov. But in a case where I have to rely on the wind to spread the fire, there they want to suggest Rabbi Yochanan will agree to the opinion of Reish Lakish. And in fact, in the opinion cited by the Masha and the Chazon Ish, there is a somewhat of a variance. The Chazon Ish says, if when I put on the fire, the wind was already blowing, there, even there, it's a, he'll agree to Rav Chaim Brisker that it's a situation of chitzov. If, however, when I put on the fire, the wind wasn't blowing, and only afterwards the wind began to blow and spread the fire, there Rabbi Yochanan will not be able to say Isha Mishim Chitzov, and he'll agree to Reish Lakish's opinion of Isha Mishim Emoinah. The Masha doesn't agree to this distinction, and the Masha says that if the fire is spread because of the wind, it makes no difference if the wind was present when the fire was lit, or the wind wasn't present when the fire was lit, and there Rabbi Yochanan will not say his opinion of Isha Mishim Chitzov. The Nemuki Yosef asks the question, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan of Eish Mishum Chitzov, so then why could somebody put on a stove or a candle before Shabbos and have them continue burn on Shabbos? Since according to Rabbi Yochanan the fire is viewed as an extension of what I did, and I'm not allowed to put on a fire obviously on Shabbos, it should be also to put on a fire even before Shabbos. So then the Muki Yosef answers that even though we'll say that the fire is considered a continuous act of the one who ignited the fire, but it's not considered, he says, as though he is constantly doing a new act of ignition. Rather, what it's considered, whatever the fire will burn, is included in the initial act of ignition. And therefore, it's considered from the beginning. We always go back to the beginning of the lighting of the fire, and therefore, if this fire was lit on Erev Shabbos, we have no problem. The Tzois explains how will we understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion within the Muki Yosef. Going back to Gemara that we learned on Daf Yud Zayin, that we learned that if somebody threw a vessel from the top floor of the house, it hasn't been broken yet until it actually hits the ground, but it's already considered a manatvira, a broken vessel, from the moment it was broken, it was thrown and destined to break. In fact, based on what the Nemuki Yosef says, let's say somebody were to light a fire and immediately after lighting the fire he passes away, but the fire he lit does damage, even though he's no longer alive, he will still be held responsible. He can't be held responsible, he passed away. His estate will be held responsible because the liability for the fire begins as soon as he ignited the fire when he was still alive. The Stipler has a very different approach to answering the Nemuki Yosef's question, why is there, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no problem of lighting a stove or a fire from before Shabbos? He says, we need to understand, what does Melech Shabbos mean? What Melech Shabbos means, he says, is that I may not do Melech on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of rest, And whatever the Torah identifies as a malacha is the opposite of menucha, is a malacha, and it may not be done on Shabbos. Says the Stipler, in the case of somebody who lit the fire on Erev Shabbos, even if we'll say that Isha Mishum Chitzov, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and it's considered as if the fire is being lit because of me, but at the end of the day, I haven't done anything on Shabbos. And Melecha Shabbos means that I did a Melecha on Shabbos. Here I didn't do any physical act on Shabbos, and if I don't do a physical act on Shabbos, it's not considered that I was Mechalel Shabbos. It's interesting to note how Paiskim look at a Gemara and look at a question and have very different views from the same Gemara. Ramosha wants to point out that based on our Gemara, what would be the din of setting up a Shabbos clock before Shabbos that's going to turn on an electrical appliance on Shabbos? According to the Nemukah Yosef, that it's permitted because everything we follow the initial act of ignition, says Reb Moshe, in a case where there was no initial act of ignition, because nothing was turned on Friday, it was only turned on Shabbos. So he says that according to Reb Yochanan holds Isha Mishum Chitzov, and even if we follow the Mukhi Yosef's explanation of Reb Yochanan's opinion, that would not allow us to use a Shabbos clock. However, Reb Moshe does say that since everybody uses a Shabbos clock, it's become the minig. He says it's a concern of zilus of the Shabbos by using a Shabbos clock. I could do everything on Shabbos through a Shabbos clock, but he says it's acceptable. The Shoyl Meshev and the Mashah, on the contrary, used the Nemukah Yosef to prove that a Shabbos clock is certainly permitted, because they don't see a difference between if I actually put on the fire or I put on the Shabbos clock. Since my act was done on Friday, not it was done before Shabbos, it's not considered an act of Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter. According to the Stipler, it's certainly mutter, because as we said, the Stipler's explanation is what is considered Chil Shabbos if I do a Malach on Shabbos. But if I set up the Shabbos clock from before Shabbos, I certainly did not do any Malach on Shabbos, and it certainly would be mutter. It's interesting to note that the Kotzker asks a stira in the opinion of Reb Yochanan. The Gemara says Masech the Tainus Daf Chof Tes Amar Aleph. The Reb Yochanan says Il Mali Hayisi Ve'Oisador. If I would have been in the generation where they established Tisha B'Av to be the day of mourning for Churban Beis Hamikdash, Lo Kavativ Ela Basiri, I would have really only made it Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av. Sheruba Shal Heichel Nisr B'Siri. Most of the Beis Hamikdash was burnt on Asiri. As the Kotzker, Reb Yochanan is the very man, the Omer, who says that we follow Isha Mishum Chitzov, that we follow the initial act. So the initial act was on Tisha B'Av, burning the Beis Hamikdash was on Tisha B'Av. So how could Reb Yochanan also say that we follow when the actual burning took place, which was only Asiri B'Av? Reb Yochanan is the man that goes Chitzov, that looks at the beginning. So I saw a number of truths. The Mekroi Kodesh, and I think this is what the Kotzker means to answer also, says that the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash is not for the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. The mourning of the Beis HaMikdash is for the Beis HaMikdash that's burnt. Our Beis HaMikdash is burnt, and therefore we have to mourn. When was the Beis HaMikdash actually burnt? A burnt Beis HaMikdash we only had on a Asiri B'Av. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan suggested that we should only fast on a Asiri B'Av. And the Gemara says, we go at the beginning of the burning as Chula Parnasa. Other Mepharshim explain, based on what we explained earlier, that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if the burning is not only done because of my act, the Mashah and the Chazon Ish, but it's depends on something else, there Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to the concept of Eish Mishim Chitzov. So we have a very Gishmak Teretz. certainly the burning of Beis HaMikdash wasn't because of the burning of Beis HaMikdash wasn't just done because the Goyim burnt the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the Beis HaMikdash should be burned. And since and it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu decision, agreement, act that helped the Beis HaMikdash be burned, and therefore we said that even then Rabbi Yochanan agrees that we don't say Eishav Mishum Chitzov, and therefore the Asira, therefore Rabbi Yochanan correctly assumed that we should fast on Asira B'Av, not on Tisha B'Av. Reb Aaron Leib Steinman says a similar concept as we said before. He says, what would be the halacha if somebody got very ill and ultimately he dies because he was so ill? When do we start the Avelis? We start the Avelis when he actually dies, even though he got sick before that. Here too, the Avelis is for the Beis HaMikdash that's burnt, and we only begin the Avelis, suggested Rabbi Yochanan, we should only begin the Avelis when the Beis HaMikdash is actually when the Beis HaMikdash was actually burnt. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Rish Lakish my Tamala Amak Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, why doesn't he subscribe to the concept of Eish Mishim Chitza? Amalai Chitzov Mikaycha Yazo. If I throw an arrow, the arrow leaves completely because of my force. Hi, La Mikaycha Yazo. The fire, as we've been explaining, relies on the wind to spread. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, my Tamala Amak Rish Lakish. Amalach, he answers, Mamayna is for Mamashas. When we speak about Marman, we speak about something that has some substance. Ha, left by Mashasha. Fire has no substance, and therefore, since fire has no substance, we can't compare it to Mamayna. Ask Tysus, we've learned and we're going to learn that one of the Mazikim is Bor. And the Gemara says that there's an opinion that holds that what is the Mazik of Bor? The Hevel. The uncomfortable environment within the bar. So that's also less by Malashasha and still considered a mazik. So Tysus answers that still, you can't have a bar, you can't have a chiyah for bar unless you actually have a pit. So since you have actually a pit, it's considered isba Malashasha, whereas fire is not considered something that isba Malashasha. Tanat. So the Gemara asks a question on Rish Lakish's opinion from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hakel shnot the charora," and then that took that burning biscuit and put it on the grain. So is chayiv chatzin nezik for the grain. Bishlam lemandam isha mishum chitzav. According to mandam that says that my fire that I caused, it's considered that I sent the fire. So here it's chitzav the kelifu. The dog's arrows caused the grain to be burnt, and therefore it's a situation of tsroiris, chatzi nezek tsroiris, and that's why the Mishnah says that on the grain you pay chatzi nezek. Eleman dami ishim ishim emaynoi. If we follow Rish Lakish's opinion, that fire is considered my mamin, hay eish lam emaynoi the bal kelifu. The fire is not owned by the owner of the dog. So according to Rashi's explanation, the Gemara's question is very easy to understand. Rashi says that according to Rish Lakish, you're only chayiv for Eish if it's your fire. This is not the fire of the owner of the dog, so why is he chayiv for Eish? But even if we follow Tysus' opinion, that Tysus says you're chayiv for Eish, even if it's not your actual mamon, still, here, says Tysus, when is there a din that even if I don't own the fire, according to Rish Lakish I'll be chayiv, is if I spread the fire, if I cause this fire to spread. But here, I did not cause the fire to spread. It was the dog that caused the fire to spread, and therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that I should not be held responsible, according to Rish Lakish's opinion. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rish Lakish, Hachamai Skinen, the Adya Aduyer. The case over here is a case where the dog put the biscuit actually on the stack. Al charoro, for eating the biscuit, mishalom nezek sholein, but that's a case of shein. Al mokem gechelis, on what he put down the biscuit, mishalom chatzi nezek. He has to pay chatzi nezek, because that will be a situation of tzroiris. Al godish kula, and for the rest of the stack, Rish Lakish will indeed hold that he's potter. He's, because according to him, the fire spreading is not my responsibility, and therefore I will not be chayiv. Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yochanan, Ancha Anuchi, again, the case is that he put down the biscuit on the grain. Acharoro, for the biscuit itself, is chayiv, the situation of shame. Amokin Gechelis, and also on the place where he actually put down the biscuit. Since it's Eisha Mishim Chitzov, it's considered my act, and it's a normal act for the dog to put this down, so it'll be regal. Valagodish, for the spreading of the fire, it will be a situation of tsroiris, and it'll pay chatzi nezek. Toshma, so Gemara asks a different question on Rish Lakish. It says in a Mishnah that we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Gomel Talmud Pishtim, if there's a camel carrying flax, Vava Brishas Rabin, walking in the Rishas Rabin, Nichnas of Pishtoni L'toy Chanus V'dolka B'neri Shul Chavoni, if the flax went into the shop and set a fire by the lamp of the shopkeeper, the entire Vidlika Sabira, and set a fire the entire house, Bal Gomel Chayiv, the owner of the donkey is responsible. But if the shopkeeper left his lamp outside in the Rishus HaRabim, Chanvani Chayiv, because he shouldn't have left his burning lamp outside the store. Yudaymer, there's an exception, but Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah, the halacha is you're supposed to leave it outside, and then the owner of the shop would be potter. Says the Gemara, Bishlom L'mandama Isha Mishim Chitzov, according to Mandama, Rabbi Yochanan holds Isha Mishim Chitzov, Chitz of the Gomel Hu, I'm I who am the owner of the camel, I'm held responsible because I own the camel and the camel caused the fire to spread. It's a situation of tsroiris, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Gemara at this point, I will be held responsible for tsroiris of my animal. However, Elman Dom Mishim Moinai, Hi, again, either according to Rashi's pshat, the owner of the camel doesn't own the fire, or even we found Taisa pshat, I should not be held responsible for the damages done by fire of my animal. Amalek Rish Lakish, Hachem Ma'iskinen, what is that Mishnah referring to? B'masachachas kolabayra kula. The fire is being actually applied to the entire house. The way Rashi explains it, it's referring to a situation that he's actually applying the fire on top of the entire house, and that's why, since he's having direct contact on with between the fire and the animal, holding the fire and the house are coming into direct contact, then the halacha is that he's chayiv. Ravid has a different explanation, that he doesn't have to actually apply the fire to every inch of the house, but if he puts the fire to the pishtan, to the flax, and the flax gets ignited and it spreads the fire, it has the same din. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to explain the braisa. Let's continue learning that Mishnah. And we learned in the Mishnah, if the shopkeeper kept the fire outdoors, the halach is chavoni chayiv. The shopkeeper is held responsible. Ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is referring, as we just said, that the fire was being placed by the camel to every inch of the house, and that's why the house burnt, so then why is the owner held responsible? Why is the shopkeeper held responsible? Answer to Gemara, Bisha Omda. it's referring to the case where the camel stood in one spot, and therefore the shopkeeper is held responsible. Ask the Gemara, if the animal standing in one place, certainly the shopkeeper should be exempt, and the owner should be of the donkey should be responsible, because he should not have allowed his animal to remain in one place and ignite the entire house. He should have pulled his animal away as soon as he saw what's happening. If the animal is moving, so there we could say that the owner of the animal thought that the animal was moving away from the house. But if the animal is standing still, he certainly should have recognized the danger of what's happening here, and he should have pulled his animal away. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avchuna bar Manoach Shmeid Ravika, Hakama Iskinen Kigon Shomdel Hakama Mena. The animal is standing, it's standing to urinate, and therefore the animal cannot be butched, and that's why he can't be held responsible. Reisha, another Gemara, explains how we'll understand that Mishnah. Reisha bal gomel chayiv. In the Reisha, the owner of the donkey is chayiv. The boyle lafush betina. He should have not put on such a large load on his camel's back that would be able to protrude into the store, which would then get ignited from the fire that the shopkeeper has. Sefer, but in the Sefer, Chanvani Chayiv, the Leiboy Leilenucha Neir Mevroi. He should have not allowed his donkey, he should not have, the shopkeeper is held responsible because he shouldn't have left his fire outdoors. So Gemara tries to ask another question in Rishlokish. Toshma, Hamadlikas Agodish. It says in a Braisa, if somebody puts on, ignites a stack of grain, Voyigdi Kofasla, and there's a goat tied to that stack, the Evid Samachloi, and there's a Evid, a servant also nearby, the Nisraf Imai, and it gets burned together with him, Chayiv. He's Chayiv for the pain of the goat and the stack. Even though, as we're going to learn, there's a din of Kimle B'Dirabmanei, and if he's Chayiv for killing the Eved, he'll be potter for the goat and the stack. Still here, it's not considered that he's chayiv for the burning of the Eved, because since the Eved was not tied down here, the Eved should have run away, and therefore he's not considered a murderer. So he's not chayiv for the Eved, but he is chayiv for the Gedi and for the Godesh. The Rishonim, starting with Rashi, ask, why does the Mishnah have to talk about the Gedi? We could have learned this then with the Mishnah just speaking about the Godesh, the grain, and the Eved. If he's considered a murderer for Eved, as we're going to see in a moment, he's potter for the Godesh. If he's not considered a murderer, in the case that we just learned, because the Eved could have run away, he is chayiv for the Godesh. Why does the Mishnah have to bring in the case of Gedi? So some Rishonim actually say that the Mishnah did not have to bring in the Gedi. It's just, as we're going to learn later, that's talking about the Gedi is owned by one person and the Eved is owned by another person, so that's why we bring in the case of the Gedi. Another teretz is that it seems that the Eved and the Godesh are probably owned by one and the same individual, because what happened here was that somebody sent his Eved to watch his grain. So therefore we bring in the Gedi, which is owned by a different person, that could help us understand when will he be responsible for the loss of the Gedi and when will he not be responsible for the Gedi. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that the Gedi is not considered Tumah. That even though the Gedi might have been obscured by the Godesh, and therefore we know that the halacha is that by Tomen one is not Chai by Eish, here it's not considered Tomen, and there is a Chiyuv for the Gedi. Eved kafes lo. However, if the Eved was tied here, ugdi samach loy, v'nisif imoy, potter. He's potter for the gdi and the godish, because since he's chayiv misa for the Eved, we apply the concept of kimlei midrabanei. So the Rashba asks, why do we apply the concept of kimlei midrabanei? Kimlei midrabanei teaches us that if one does one act for which there are two punishments, he only receives the greater punishment and he is exempt from the lesser punishment. Here, perhaps, asks the Rashba, the Gdi and the Godish got burnt before the Eved got burnt. So they didn't all happen at the same time. So we can't apply the concept of Kimlei Midrabanei. So the Shita indeed says, if that were the case, that the Gdi and Godish were burnt before the Eved was burnt, we wouldn't apply the concept of Kimlei Midrabanei. But the Rashba says a different terrace. The Rashba says that the Chiv Misa, that the person who burns the Eved is Mechuyiv that immediately. Because as soon as he lights a fire that could burn Rachman Tzlan the Eved, he's considered a Raidif. And the Halacha the Gemara says in Masech the Sanhedrin is that a Raidif is Chayiv Misa. So his Chiv Misa doesn't come only when the Eved gets burnt. His Chiv Misa comes immediately. The Pnei Yeshua points out that even if the person wasn't aware that there was an Eved there, and therefore we could not give the person who put on the fire Misa, because you only Chiv Misa when you knew that you're committing an act of murder, still we know that throughout Shas we have the concept of Tana de Bechizkiah, who teaches us that even in the case of Shoyid, if somebody did an act for which there would be a Chiyiv Misa, he did it b'mezin, but here he happened to have been a Shoyid, and therefore there is no Chiyiv Misa, we still apply the concept of Kimlei Midrabanei. And actually, that's why the Rishonim say that perhaps here there was a Hasra Safik, because when he put on the fire, he didn't know for sure that the Eved would get burnt, and we know that by Hasra Safik, there's never a Chiyiv Misa. So why do we apply the concept of Kimlei Midrabanei? But again, if we apply the concept of the Pnei Yeshua that says that Kimlei Midrabanei is always applied, even in a case where there wouldn't necessarily actually be a Chiyiv Misa, we could understand why Kimlei Midrabanei is appropriate to be applied here. However, the Brisk Rav asks that under these circumstances, you can never be Mechuyiv Misa. Why could you never be Mechuyiv Misa? Because to be Mechuyiv Misa, you have to actually have committed murder with your own hands. Here, by somebody lighting a fire, and the Eved Rachman Tzlan getting burnt and ultimately dying, it's not considered an actual act of Misa. So why, of murder. So why would there be a Chiyiv Misa? So the Brisker Rav says a very interesting Chiddush. He says, there were ever a result of somebody's act, someone dies, even if we can't be mechayiv the murderer Misa, as we're explaining, because it wasn't a real act of murder, it's still a din that in those circumstances there is no chiyiv mamon. And that's what the Mishnah, that's what this Mishnah means to say, that since ultimately someone died because of this act, there cannot be a chiyiv mamon. So now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that says that when I put on a fire it's considered my act, that's why we could understand that the act of killing the slave is considered the act of the person who put on the fire, and we could apply the concept of Kimlei Midrabanei. But according to Reish Lakish, my potter, ilakot l'torah avdei, hakanami d'loy mechayif. What would be the din if someone's bull killed a slave? Would he not be mechuyiv a monetary payment? As Rashi points out, the shloishim shel eved, if somebody kills an eved, if somebody's axe kills an eved, he's still obligated to pay the shloishim shel eved, even though he died, even though they ever died. So we see, because it's not I who committed the murder. If someone himself committed the murder, so then we apply the concept of killing with the rabbin then. But if it's somebody's property who committed the murder, we don't apply the concept of kimleib the rabbinay. So here we're saying that Eishai is not considered the person who sets the fire's age. It's just his mom. And why do we apply the concept of kimleib the rabbinay? Amlok Rav Shimon ben Lakish. So Reish Lakish responds, Hakam Ma'iskinen Kshehitzis Begufish Levin. We actually apply the fire to the slave. That's an actual act of murder. That we apply the concept of kimleib the rabbinay. Ask the Gemara if he actually put the fire on the Eved. Certainly, my lememra, it's obvious that we should apply the concept of kimleib the rabbinay, and it should be exempt for paying for the Godish and for the Gdi. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Leitzrich v'gdi dechad v'eved dechad. It's referring to a case where the goat belongs to one person and the eved belongs to another person. And therefore, even though, so you would think since they don't belong to the same person, we shouldn't apply the concept of kimleib the rabbinay, teaches us the Gemara that we do. And again, this goes back to something that we said earlier. The Gemara doesn't speak about the Godish, because the Godish, explained the Rishonim, certainly belongs probably to the same person that owns the Eved. And in fact, that's why he sent the Eved to watch the Godish. That's why we're focused on the Gedi on the Eved, but not on the Eved, and not on the Godish and on the Eved. Toshma, Hashalayach Espeir Biyad Cheresh Shoyt V'Kotten. If somebody sends a fire with a Cheresh Shoyt V'Kotten, Taloch is Pot Medine Adam V'Chay Medine Shemayim. He's not Chay Medine Adam, he's only Chay Medine Shemayim. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Laman Dom Ish Mishim Chitzos. If we follow Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Chitzah the Cheresh. It's not considered my fire, it's not considered my act, it's considered the act of the Cheresh. And therefore, I'm not Chayiv, because the Cheresh is not a Bas Seichel. El Man Dom Ish Mishim Emayna. Ask the Gemara. Ilam Masa Shoyroi. If somebody owned a bull and he gave over that bull the cheresh shoyt for cotton, and then the bull did damage, hachanam do I'm a chayiv? Of course I'm held responsible if my bull did damage because I gave it over to an irresponsible party. Hitler answers the Gemara. So how would Reish Lakish explain that Mishnah? Hitler lo om Reish Lakish shmei de chizkia lo shana elma chmas lo gechalas v'liba. The Mishnah there is talking about a case where he gave the cheresh shoyt for cotton a coal that isn't yet fanned, and the cheresh shoyt for cotton are the ones that turn this coal into a flame. Ava masalosh shachavis. But indeed, if he gave the cheresh shoyt for cotton a flame, then he would be chayiv. My tama bari hazeka, because there it's certain that the damage will happen. It's like giving a cheresh shoyt for cotton a bull, and that's why I'm chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds, I feel shall have it, that even if I gave the bull, even if I gave the cheresh shoyt for cotton a full-fledged flame, I would be potter. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, safsa the cheresh kagorim, the cheresh holding the fire is what causes the damage. And therefore, I'm not going to be held responsible. According to Rabbi Yochanan, loy mechayiv, the owner, the person who hands the fire to the cheresh shoyt of the cotton, would not be held responsible. Ad masalei gavza silto shaga, unless he gives the cheresh shoyt of the cotton dry wood and flame, and under those circumstances, it's certainly considered a situation of ishim mishum chitzov, and I would be held responsible. There's a very interesting medrash. The medrash says, Hayah Hayom Ra Vayonis. That when Klai Yisrael approached Yam Suf, the Yam saw something and ran and split. What did it see? Ruchush HaMitzrayim Ra. It saw the Ruchush HaMitzrayim that Klai Yisrael took out. And Farshim tried to understand why, because the Yam saw the Ruchush HaMitzrayim, did it have an effect. So Farshim explained, that we've been learning, there's a concept of Kimlei B'Ravenei. And Kimlei B'Ravenei teaches us that we can't hold somebody responsible for two punishments. We only give somebody Misa, we won't hold them responsible for Mom. So the question is, if the Mitzrim were killed, why did they also have to give up their Rechush? The answer is, Hayom Rav Yonis. We explained before that we only say Kimlei B'Ravenei if both acts happened at the exact same time. But if they don't happen at the same time, we don't say Kimlei B'Ravenei. Here, they saw the Rechush that Klal Yisrael took from Mitzrayim, they already took before. So therefore, we don't apply the concept of Kimlei B'Ravenei, and we could take both the Rechush from Mitzrayim and the Mitzrayim could also end by being killed, Ken Yodu Kol Oivecha Hashem.